Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Peter Strauss is here. Peter's a new friend. He's the founder of the Strauss Law Firm. He's not only an attorney, he's a captive insurance manager. I've never said those three words in my life before, not out loud anyway. He's the author of several books, including The Business Owner's Definitive Guide to Captive Insurance Companies. Like, that's the second time in a row I've said those three words, so I got to find out about him. Peter, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. Happy to be on this morning.
Good to have you here. We're going to talk about, folks, Peter's joining us to talk to us about how to protect our business from natural disasters, and we'll probably expand that into some unnatural ones as well. Peter, I'm glad you're here, but you got to tell us what a captive insurance company is.
So this is it's a great question. I have someone new in my office yesterday, and I looked at him and I said, could you imagine waking up every single day and explaining a new concept to someone every single day and them not having a clue and then having to convince all of their advisors what you do? And he said, no. And I said, well, that's what we do here. So, captives are captive insurance has been around for a long time. About 90% of Fortune 1000 companies utilize them, and yet nobody's ever really heard of them. What they are, they're private insurance companies that we build, our law firm built them for the business owner.
So is this part of the self-insurance system?
Sort of. I mean, self-insurance by nature is you burying your head in the sand
right.
and hoping nothing bad
happens. No. That's not true, Peter. Self-insurance means that you start building reserves, and then eventually you pull down your purchased insurance, and as you build your reserves, and yeah, you do take some risks, but it's not exactly just being foolhardy.
Well, that's true.
If you do it right, I'll put it that way.
That's right. So what we do is we formalize the system. So we build an insurance company that you as the business company owner would own. And the insurance company is designed to insure risk of your business.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is we kind of turn the conversation about insurance upside down and we say, look, nobody likes to buy insurance. It's
right.
not fun to buy it when every dollar you spend, if nothing happens, you're never going to see it
again. I wish, if I had all the money that I spent on insurance that I didn't use, I would, I'd be in the south of France right now.
Well, so that's what we do. So when we build a captive insurance
Where were
company,
you 40 years ago? That's what I want to know, Peter.
I get asked this question all the time.
I bet you do. I'm serious. I bet you do.
Yeah, I tend to take the stage and say, I'm your expert for the next hour, and I'm sorry I'm not older. But the idea is just that. It's that we're going to build an insurance company. It's just going to be like AIG. It's going to be like Aflac. It's going to be like any insurance company you've ever heard of. The difference being that when you take on the risk within your business, every dollar that you spend in insurance will go to your insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And if you continue to manage that risk well, you retain every dollar within that insurance company.
Well, it's like an HSA for property and casualty, basically.
It's close. That's correct.
Health savings account.
So what we do is we just talk to business owners and say, look,
So what you're probably doing then is buying like a major PNC cap policy that covers catastrophic stuff, and you cover up to what, 50,000 or whatever.
No, we can do it several different ways. But typically, what happens is every policy that's issued by your insurance company will be reinsured. Depending on the type of coverage, you'll have a retention level or what other people will know as a deductible. And it can range, it can be as low as 7.5% on up of what that policy value is.
Right.
And it kind of makes the conversation a little more interesting from the
standpoint. Can you take this to a bank? Like if you've got a mortgage on your property, can you take your capital backstop and this major policy, catastrophic policy. Can you take that to a bank? Will they sign off on that?
You could. I mean, you could consolidate your financials.
Are you able to get them? Are you able to get banks to do that rather than to have a policy from Nationwide or whatever?
Depending on the type of coverage, yeah, certainly. I mean, really what we do is ultimately we'll say, Jim, what are you spending money on you've never filed claims against before?
Right.
And what keeps you up at night? And for every one of those coverages that we identify and that you're comfortable with, you're going to take a tax deduction for the insurance purchase as an ordinary necessary business deduction.
Right.
And every dollar that your captive collects is tax exempt.
There's no basis. What you get to write off the policy, but then you're not accumulating basis in that.
That's correct.
Does the IRS know about this?
The IRS and the
they don't like this, do they?
Well, I mean, it's interesting if you say that because. I just wrote this book because they increased the they just changed the Internal Revenue Code and increased the exemption for small business owners to allow them to put up to $2.2 million in their captive
year.
So up until January 1st, how long does
this thing start paying off year one, or is there a crossover? Is there some kind of a vesting that people should expect? How young would you need to be, or how much longer would you expect to work and pay these premiums for this to pay off?
Well, if it's established properly and you manage it properly, it should pay off at year one.
Really?
I mean, we generally don't take a client unless we can put you in position to be profitable in year one.
Is there a critical mass number? Do you need to be paying $20,000 a year in taxes or to cover the administration or whatever?
I mean
premiums.
Right, the premiums. I mean, you're going to need a fairly significant premium, probably 200-250+.
Right. In premium, you're paying $250,000 in premiums a year. You're a candidate for this if you just got a few properties and you're paying a couple thousand a year for each. You're not.
Well, yes and no. So. I would love to say yes, if you're paying that, then you qualify for this. That's a natural. But the other thing is that if you, most business owners, myself included, when I first opened my law firm, I had malpractice, I had a disability policy,
right.
And overhead policy.
Are you saying you can't rope in your health insurance in this, can you?
Well, no, what I'm saying is I left all the real exposures out there because I didn't know that I could insure it. Key customer, loss of key employee, business interruption, employment practices.
Hold on to that thought. You got a website?
I do. TheStraussLawFirm.com.
All right, so check it out.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.